Although we're not together physically, it's an absolute privilege for me to be here in spirit at the Republican Plot in Sligo for a very unique 1916 commemoration. And for starters, I'd like to say a really special thanks to Councillor Declan Bree and all of the comrades and friends in Sligo for hosting today's event. A commemoration like no other. A commemoration against the backdrop of the world in lockdown. Billions of people in isolation in their homes, tens of thousands dead, millions losing their jobs, the army on the streets in parts of Europe, mobile phones being used to track people's movements in the interests of public health, airlines grounded, and all in the space of a couple of weeks. It's like an Orwellian nightmare, but you know, we're not reading it, we're actually living it. And the system has been laid bare now in a manner that has not been seen in our lifetime. There's now a widespread awareness that things can't go back to normal because normal is part of the problem. So we who gather here in respect for the men and women of 1916 have to seize this moment with the same determination and courage that they showed that Easter Sunday 104 years ago today. Their self-sacrifice, their unwavering hope and belief in a better future, their understanding that this future could only be delivered by radical change, so eloquently expressed by James Connolly. "Whoop it up for liberty. After Ireland is free," says the patriot, who won't touch socialism, "we will protect all classes. And if you won't pay your rent, you will be evicted same as now. But the evicting party, under command of the sheriff, will wear green uniforms and the harp without the crown. And the warrant turning you out onto the roadside will be stamped with the arms of the Irish Republic. Now, isn't that worth fighting for?" And of course it isn't. But you know, it's the exact same question that's posed before us today. Because we've seen measures taken in the last few weeks that the powers that be have repeatedly told us could never be done. Emergency payments to all workers, rent and mortgage freezes, evictions outlawed, bailouts for small businesses. And of course it's not enough, and it pales into insignificance in comparison to the trillions being pumped into the banks. But it is a graphic example of what Connolly pointed out, that the ruling class will and do laugh and scorn every scheme for the amelioration of workers as long as the rights of property are respected. But when they are alarmed for the safety of their booty, they yield reform after reform to prevent revolution. And you know, in some ways, that's where we are now. So we have to ask ourselves the question, what's the point in having an economic crisis every 10 years when the misnamed norms of production are suspended so that the state can play a role in distributing wealth and delivering socialism for the rich? Why would or should we accept this when so many people now clearly see that of course the virus is a problem, but the real problem is the way in which society is organised, which has prevented us from dealing with it and from saving lives. The globalised industrial food production, the deforestation, the monocultures, the use of pesticides and chemicals, which have all served to degrade our ecosystems and cause and spread new diseases. The 40 years of ruthless neoliberalism, which have stripped our health services and prevented our ability to respond. Even here in the European Union, 63 times in the last years, the European Commission has demanded that member states cut their health budgets. But we have to remind ourselves that globally, even before the virus, 10,000 people die every day as a result of their lack of access to adequate healthcare. We've had the assault on organised labour and working conditions, where the idea of a permanent pensionable job has become a thing of the past. And now we have the gig economy and casualisation being the order of the day, where people go into work sick and spread disease because it's either work or starve. Now, how in God's name could we be so crazy as to allow the return of this so-called normal? How could we allow the idea that the victims of this crisis are going to be made to pay for it through another round of vicious austerity? The men and women of 1916 understood that the Irish people will only be free, as James Connolly said, when they own everything from the plough to the stars. Not on our own, of course, but as part of the international community of ordinary people, understanding that the interests of labour all the world over are identical and their demands are modest. We only want the earth. A spirit embodied by the 26,000 Cuban doctors sent from that tiny sanctioned country, sent around the globe to assist with the pandemic. Our solidarity, as Fidel Castro said, to our country is not just Cuba, our country is also humanity. And in that spirit, we must now build a grassroots movement internationally to socialise the means of wealth that exist in abundance for the interests of the billions rather than the billionaires. That is our modern 1916 goal. That is where the leaders of 1916 would be today. They would be outraged by the tens of thousands of migrants desperately trapped on the Greek islands while the European authorities slap themselves on the back that our borders are safe. They would be with the people of Gaza, 2 million blockaded in an open-air prison by Israel, even in the midst of a pandemic. They would be with the citizens of Iran, Venezuela, Syria, Cuba, and all of the other countries who are victims of the new form of warfare that is sanctions. Sanctions much more deadly than bombs. War was an important backdrop to the 1916 rising. War dislocates society. War throws out social norms, as we've seen in the COVID war. But while we haven't suffered war recently in Europe, war is daily life for millions around the world. And Connolly was clear. It would be well to realise that the talk of humane methods of warfare, of rules of civilised warfare, and all such homage to the finer sentiments of the race are hypocritical and unreal. There are no humane methods of warfare. There is no such thing as civilised warfare. All warfare is inhumane. All warfare is barbaric. What lover of humanity can view with anything but horror the prospect of this ruthless destruction of human life? Yet this is more to which all the hopes of the world are being sacrificed. War, which our mad ruling class will plunge a mad world. So how can we in Ireland tolerate our civilian airport in a neutral country being used to transit thousands of US troops to the Middle East, even as the pandemic rages? How can we stay silent in the face of vicious sanctions which are condemning men, women and children to death? If we want to truly embody the real spirit of 1916, then we must stand with refugees. We must demand an end to the sanctions. We must demand that the world's 1% wealthiest individuals who own twice, not once, but twice, the wealth of 88% of the world's population pay for this crisis by expropriating their wealth. The present crisis has shown the best and the worst of society. The instinct for solidarity in communities and among working class people generally. The self-sacrificing efforts of our health workers, our retail workers, and all other essential workers, which have shown us the true meaning of what's essential and what isn't. These are the embers from which a fire can rage, a fire for justice and humanity, for an end to war, an end to want. Our goal is simple. In the words of the 1916 leaders, revolution will only be achieved when the ordinary people of the world, us, the working class, get up off our knees and take back what is rightfully ours. Comrades, that is our task as we go here today. And it's now more important than ever, because it's not now just about the possibility of change, but the absolute necessity and the need to organise that struggle. There is no time to lose. We don't have the luxury of waiting. We who hold Wolfetone's principles draw our inspiration not from the mouldering records of the past, but from the glowing hopes of the living present and the vast possibility of a mighty future. To that future we go. Happy Easter.